Yes, your community radio station, 88.3, and coming up right now is The Space Show. If you're familiar with the music of Stacey Fox, you'll know what this music is. Oh, we'll let you in the secret a little later. Welcome to The Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, on Mars, Ingenuity has had a rotor clipped. On the moon, the slim lander is awake again. And this music by Stacey Fox is called, quite simply, Jezero Crater. Now, Jezero Crater should be familiar to you, and if not, well, it soon will be, because take a listen to this.
It is bittersweet that I must announce that Ingenuity, the little helicopter that could, and it kept saying, I think I can, I think I can, well, it is now taking its last flight on Mars. As it was coming down for a landing, at least one of its carbon fiber rotor blades was damaged. We're investigating the possibility that the blade struck the ground. This is what the blade looks like. It's a special fiber with a special contour. That little helicopter could fly in a 1% atmosphere, not 100% atmosphere like we have on Earth. It cut through a 1% atmosphere and was able to fly. And what Ingenuity accomplished far exceeds what we thought possible. Almost 3 years ago, the helicopter made its first flight on the planet Mars.
Altimeter data confirmed that Ingenuity has performed its first flight.
And living up to its name, Ingenuity made history as the first aircraft to make a powered, controlled flight on another planet. But then it flew farther and higher than we ever thought possible. And what started as a technology demonstration with plans for only up to 5 flights has now completed a remarkable 72 flights on Mars. And the innovation doesn't stop here. It acted as a scout for the Perseverance rover. It would go and check out sites. Ingenuity demonstrated how flight can enhance operational missions. And it's helping us in the search for life on Mars. And like the Wright brothers, what they did back here on Earth at the early part of the last century, Ingenuity has paved the way for future flight in our solar system, and it's leading the way for smarter, safer human missions to Mars and beyond. I think President Biden said it best after Ingenuity's first flight. He said, NASA proved once again that with relentless determination and the power of America's best minds, anything is possible. That's what we try to do at NASA, make the impossible possible. And so, thank you, Ingenuity.
That was NASA Administrator Bill Nelson. And of course, there had to be a media conference to announce what had happened.
Hello, everyone. Thanks very much for joining us for our media teleconference today. I'm Elise Fisher with NASA's Office of Communications, and we're here today to discuss NASA's Ingenuity Mars helicopter. Ingenuity was the first aircraft to make a powered, controlled flight on another planet. And now, after nearly 3 years on Mars, it has flown for the last time. So we have speakers here today to share more, discuss a bit about Ingenuity's many accomplishments. So we'll first hear briefly from Lori Glaze, Director of the Planetary Science Division at NASA headquarters, Lori Leshin, Director of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and Teddy Zaneros, Ingenuity Project Manager, also at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. But first, I will turn it over to Lori Glaze to start us off. So please go ahead, Lori.
Great. Thank you, Elise. While we knew this day was inevitable, it doesn't make it any easier to share that today the Ingenuity Mars helicopter's flight operations on Mars have ended. Ingenuity was truly an all of NASA mission. It cut across science, technology, human spaceflight, and aeronautics. It was designed as a technology demonstration, expected to fly no more than five times over 30 days, but it's ending its mission having completed 72 flights in just under 3 years. It's almost an understatement to say that it has surpassed expectations. Ingenuity is a 4-pound rotorcraft. It had a sole objective to conduct test flights in the thin atmosphere of Mars and collect important engineering data. But it has gone way beyond test flights and has laid a very solid groundwork for future aerial exploration on Mars and beyond. In 2020, when we launched Ingenuity with Perseverance, we were hopeful that Ingenuity would open new possibilities and spark questions for the future about what we could accomplish with an aerial explorer. We asked ourselves whether a helicopter could scout ahead for rovers and help plot the most efficient course for the best science. We asked ourselves whether a helicopter could support future human missions with aerial capabilities. And during its 3 years of operations on Mars, I am just really thrilled to say that Ingenuity absolutely shattered our paradigm of exploration, introducing this new dimension of aerial mobility. I couldn't have summed up the importance of Ingenuity and the lessons it's taught us any better than Vanessa Rupani. Remember, she was the student who named the helicopter in 2020. And in her words, in Vanessa's words, the ingenuity and brilliance of people working hard to overcome the challenges of interplanetary travel are what allow us all to experience the wonders of space exploration. So thank you. And now I'm going to turn it over to Lori Leshin.
Hey, thanks, Lori. It is a pleasure to be with you today. Definitely bittersweet, but mostly incredibly celebratory. We are here to celebrate something extraordinary, Ingenuity's innovation, inspiration, and technological achievement. You know, I was actually in a meeting today on the Caltech campus talking about innovation and the need to be bold. And we were talking about what's often said about the three phases of a bold idea. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. And third, it's accepted as being self-evident. And in this case, the bold idea was that we could fly a helicopter on Mars. And it definitely went through stages where nobody thought it was possible. And that's because on Earth, helicopters can't fly above about 25,000 feet. And on Mars, the atmosphere is so thin that it's equivalent to what Earth's atmosphere is at 80 or 90,000 feet. So clearly, this was impossible, right? It was an impossible task. And as the administrator said, our Mars team made the impossible possible. Hopefully, you would agree that it's worthwhile to draw a parallel with the Wright brothers. You know, the Wright flyer flew four times, on the first day of flight, which of course was an extraordinary capability that we still celebrate to this day. But it flew four times and then was blown over and broken by the wind at the end of the very first day of flights. Ginny lasted 3 years and flew 72 flights, and by any measure, it's a huge achievement. What I want to do is take a moment to acknowledge the brilliant team behind Ingenuity and say a special thank you to the great people who built and flew our first space helicopter. To accomplish a feat like this, it truly takes a team that, as we like to say at JPL, dares mighty things together. As I hand off to Teddy, I just want to highlight a few firsts again for you. First aircraft to execute a powered controlled flight on another world. First to take off and land under control. First aerial scout on another planet. And it was recognized appropriately with numerous awards, including the Collier Trophy, the Michael Collins Trophy from the Air and Space Museum, and the National Space Club's Robert Goddard Memorial Trophy. And just in closing, I look forward to the day that one of our astronauts brings home Ingenuity and we can all visit it in the Smithsonian. In the meantime, you can visit one of our pre-flight models there. So over to you, Teddy, to hear from the team.
Thanks, Lori. While Ingenuity is not going to fly again, new generations of Mars helicopters are on the drawing board, and we're excited for what the future will hold in the skies of Mars. In terms of what happened on Flight 72, there's a set of information that we know for certain. We've downlinked a set of images, and the team has looked at those images and confirmed the shadow of one of our rotor blades suggests that our rotor blade is damaged, and that means that we're not going to be able to fly anymore. The good news is that we're still in communications with Ingenuity, and she's tougher, again, than any of us could have ever imagined. Going through a blade strike for a helicopter is typically the end, and Ingenuity was able to do that and still survive afterwards to phone home. We've been in communications with Ingenuity since the weekend, collecting additional data, and we are still in the process of getting additional imagery. We're interested in understanding how the other blades fared, how the rest of the subsystems are doing, but we couldn't be prouder of our little spacecraft. Ingenuity was aptly named. There were a lot of different elements that went into the design, the evolution, the testing here at NASA JPL, and of course the operations on the surface. One of the things that made Ingenuity possible was the use of commercial off-the-shelf parts. We have cell phone chips powering the thing. We have cell phone cameras, miniaturized electronics, off-the-shelf lithium-ion batteries, and the advancements over the last two decades of various industries is really what came together to make Ingenuity possible and to be an example for all of us of what we can do in the future. We also never planned for such a long mission. We originally had a single logbook, hoping for one successful flight to be logged in that logbook, eventually got to five, and we're extremely excited to proceed into our extended operations demonstration. We now have a fully packed logbook and a second volume of a logbook to capture all the rest, leading all the way up to now, finally, Flight 72. We've had amazing luck along the way. We can't forget that. We've been extremely lucky to be flying this long at Mars and to have to deal with cold winters, dust storms, and an infinite amount of curveballs that Mars always throws at you when you're trying to operate a spacecraft so far away. None of us should be surprised in the future when the first astronauts, the first women and men are on the surface, and we have fleets of aircraft flying around capturing those scenes. So thank you all very much.
We'll have more from that NASA media teleconference about the Ingenuity helicopter a bit later in the show. But now, let's hear the team that worked on the Mars helicopter say goodbye.
We have opened the skies of another planet.
Ingenuity really opened the door for aerial exploration on Mars.
It's just been this plucky little helicopter that just defied everybody's expectations.
I'm incredibly proud and grateful for all that Ingenuity has been able to give us.
What would you say to Ingenuity directly one last time?
You're gonna make me cry, you know.
What would I say to Ingenuity?
It's really hard to say goodbye to you.
I would say thank you.
Ingenuity, thank you for bringing us all together.
Thank you for leading the charge in our adventure on Mars, and we will never forget you.
Rest well.
Thank you, Ingenuity.
Thank you, Ingenuity.
Thanks, Ingenuity.
Thanks, Ingenuity.
Nicholas Randazzo is a postdoctoral scientist at the University of Alberta. In December last year, just over a month ago, he wrote an ode to perseverance and ingenuity, at that time not knowing that the mission was so near its end.
An Ode to Perseverance and Ingenuity by Nicholas Rondazzo. In the vast expanse where dreams take flight, a tale unfolds of courage and might. Mars, the distant red planet's embrace, witnesses a duo, bound by space. In the history of the cosmos, their story engraved, perseverance and ingenuity, bold and brave. Their legacy echoes, inspiring the souls, to reach for the stars, to achieve their goals. Perseverance, a wanderer on alien soil, unraveling mysteries, with unyielding toil. Its robotic arm, a gentle touch bestowed, collecting samples, where the Martian past secrets flowed. But lo, a companion, the aerial acrobat of the skies, above rusty landscapes, it defied the ties. A helicopter, a pioneer's grace, defying gravity, in an extraterrestrial space. Across the crimson dunes, they fly and rove, Martian exploration, endlessly strove. Earth watched in wonder, hearts filled with pride, as these brave emissaries explore Jezero and beyond far and wide. Together they push boundaries, hand in hand, humanity's spirit, echoing across the sand. For in their union, a message resounds clear, that dreams and determination can conquer all fear. Their mission began at the Octavia E. Butler landing site, Wright Brothers Field where Ingenuity first took flight. Sida, Maz, Tenby, Mandu Wall and others explored, collecting samples, 10 cached at Three Forks, the rest remain aboard. Every day they dance, a cosmic ballet, Mars 2020's legacy, in a celestial display. Ingenuity's blades whisper secrets unknown, as perseverance roams, etching paths above the stone. Their tireless endeavors, a testament true, to the boundless potential, within me and you. For as we gaze upon the butterscotch skies above, we're reminded of resilience, courage, and love. So let the spirit of perseverance forever thrive, in the hearts of dreamers, who dare to strive. And may ingenuity's wings inspire us to be, explorers of the unknown, seekers of destiny. For in the grand tapestry of the cosmos above, Mars 2020's legacy, a testament of our love. To unravel the universe, one discovery at a time, together we'll soar, with passion so sublime.
This is the Space Show.
When That Helicopter Comes Undone, by Carlo C. Gomez. Delaminated, I've broken free, the blade undone, cover me with a round of fire, and I'll meet you, on the landing strip, but where's the safety net?
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
On this evening's The Space Show, we are marking the end of the Ingenuity Mars helicopter mission. Within hours of that mission being announced as having ended, Daniel Kelly, who lives in Yass in New South Wales, was pretty quick off the mark with this Requiem for Ingenuity.
Ingenuity won't fail. thought she'd fly for 30 days. 'Twas 3 years till she was done. Now she'll sit there on the planet red, nursing a broken wing. But the lessons she has taught us will many future breakthroughs bring. We were hoping for 5 flights, you made 72. Ingenuity, there's been no flyer like you. They said it was impossible, on Mars you'll never fly. Just like they told the brothers Wright, we're not built for the sky. But we reach out for the universe, the planets and the stars. And children of ingenuity will help humans explore Mars. We were hoping for 5 flights, you made 72. Ingenuity, there's been no flyer. Cakes on your rotors and cold Mars winters freeze. You can be proud of your legacy and the things that you achieved. First powered flight on another world, first control from planet far. Breaking so many barriers, engineering for the stars. We were hoping for 5 flights, you made 72. Ingenuity, there's been no flyer like you. Ingenuity, there's been no flyer like you.
That's Daniel Kelly from Yes in New South Wales. Requiem for Ingenuity. Now, at that NASA media telecom to announce the end of the Ingenuity mission, the reporters had lots and lots of questions. Here are a few of them.
How far is Ingenuity from Perseverance right now? Is there any chance that at some point the rover can get closer to get a picture? Is it too far away? And is it 72 flights in all, including the one that you lost contact with? I mean, the press release said there was an emergency landing on the previous flight. I'm assuming that was flight 71. And is there any information about that landing that you can share with us? Thanks.
Yes. So I'll handle each of those in succession. Currently, Perseverance is several hundred meters to the southeast of Ingenuity. It's on its journey, driving west on its sample collection mission. We anticipate that the rover may be able to get within 200 to 300 meters away, and we're going to try and get some photography from Perseverance's perspective, but we don't anticipate it's going to be a very good image because of the distance. We will do our best and try, but it's going to be from several hundred meters away. So Flight 71, correct, during Flight 71, we had an emergency landing due to the terrain. Where Ingenuity was flying around Flight 69, 70, 71, and finally 72, it's some of the hardest terrain we've ever had to navigate over. It's very featureless, and that's why we believe that during Flight 71, we had an emergency landing. She was flying around the surface and was realizing that there weren't too many rocks to look at or features to navigate from, and that's why Ingenuity called an emergency landing on her own. We believe the same thing happened on Flight 72. And finally, the full count of the flights is 72, including the final flight.
This is probably for Teddy. Do you know exactly what happened to the rotor? Did Ginny come down and just kind of clip the ground with the rotor? Is that what you think happened?
First, in terms of what happened precisely on Flight 72, because we lost communications with the helicopter during descent, the full high rate data log that we typically get during flights is not available. We won't be able to get that log back.
Okay.
It wasn't saved to disk. As a result of that, we won't know for certain. However, all of our engineering judgment leads us to believe that during descent, we had a blade strike with the surface of Mars. We believe it was our lower rotor system. Again, in the coming days, we'll try and get additional imagery to confirm that. And at least one of our rotors, the last 25% of the length of that rotor blade itself, is missing in the shadow. Whether or not the blade strike occurred, which led to the communications loss, or there was a communications loss and a power brownout, which then led to the rotor strike, we will never know. But the team is still going to try and piece together more data in the days ahead here.
Yes, hi. You said that you think one of the blades may have struck the surface of Mars as it was coming back down. Do you think that more than one blade was damaged in the end, or do you think the damage is limited to just the one that may have struck the surface of Mars?
So our rotor blades spin at 2,537 revolutions per minute, incredibly fast. There's a good chance, given the rotational rate, that multiple sides of the rotor system impacted the surface. Currently, we only have photo evidence of a single shadow for a single blade. Again, the team in the coming days is going to try and spin the blades as best they can and try and get images of the other side, but it's likely.
This is, I believe, probably to Teddy. Does Ingenuity have the ability to serve as a stationary science mission, like as a lander, kind of like InSight, that kind of style mission in the future?
There are no science payloads on Ingenuity itself, right? Ingenuity is a technology demonstration aircraft. It carries no additional payloads. We are interested in trying to collect as much data as we can as the Perseverance rover continues on its important mission to the west. And eventually, as the rover drives to the west up the crater rim at Jezero, we will lose contact, right? And that will happen in the days, weeks, and months ahead of us here, depending on the rover's plans. Once that happens, you know, any hope to get additional information back from Ingenuity is gone. We won't be able to communicate. During that time, we'll collect solar panel measurements. We'll collect thermal measurements. We will also correlate our telecom radio strength. And there's information you can glean from that to improve models and especially the images, also maybe interesting to geologists and scientists. But that's effectively it.
And the engineering question is, I'm a little confused about the sequence of events. So comms were lost, and if you have the how far above the ground the helicopter was at the time, and then comms were regained once Ingenuity was on the ground, and how long a period of time was it out of comms? Thanks.
Just to recap the timeline of events, starting with Flight 70, we were flying to the northwest in this area of the crater rim, or on our way to the crater rim, and we started flying over some of the most challenging from a feature density perspective. That means bland, sandy terrain, right? We saw that in Flight 70. In Flight 71, we were trying to get through that, had an emergency landing, but we're safe, right? We got down to the ground, and we established that the rotorcraft was still healthy and able to fly. Then again, in Flight 72, we tried doing a pop-up, a simple about 30-second flight, where we just wanted to take off and come back down and land. During landing, the helicopter was on its way down for descent. We have reason to believe that the same featureless terrain challenges were being faced by the helicopter. And during descent, we lost communications with the helicopter. We believe that what happened is the helicopter was landing back down on the sandy terrain, and because of the navigation challenges, we had a rotor strike with the surface. That would have resulted in a power brownout, which caused the communications loss. And that's why immediately on that flight downlink, we weren't able to see our full data. The next sole uplink cycle. We tried communicating with the helicopter, and she was right there where we expected her to be in terms of time. We got information back. She replied back that solar panel currents were looking good, which indicated that she was upright, and we tried collecting as much data as we could. But as I mentioned earlier, we're not able to get the data from the seconds of descent that we lost. That information is we're not able to get that data back. So we're piecing together the bits of information we have to formulate that timeline.
Hi, question for Teddy. Beyond the damage to the rotor, have you seen any signs of any other damage or degraded systems on Ingenuity after the landing? Thanks.
Aside from the shadow image of the rotor system, no, there's no further damage observed as a result of our rough landing here with Flight 72. Over the last 2.5 years, we've been closely monitoring the progression of the health of the vehicle, and I'm extremely proud to say that she's effectively green across the board. We've lost one inclinometer sensor, not flight critical, in our first winter, and the rest of the subsystems from the solar panel to the battery has been aging remarkably well. Our electronics, avionics, processor all seem to be doing just fine.
To Teddy, about the imagery that's been coming down just recently from the helicopter, the footage from Sol 1040, it seems to show a huge divot in the sand, and I just wondered, is that divot a hole made by the rotors?
Thank you. In terms of that, I think divot you called it, right? We don't know for certain. It could be that was the result of the blade strike itself. It could also be that as the helicopter was coming down, you can see in the image where the feet are resting, that there was some side slip or some side motion from the feet. So it could be that one of the helicopter's helicopter legs was dragging in the sand as it was coming to a rest. We are not certain. We're going to try and collect additional imagery again in the coming days, but it's hard to know for certain if that feature was there before we even arrived, if we created it with a blade, or if we created it with a foot.
Over a featureless terrain like this, how exactly did it wind up hitting a blade on the ground? Did it land on a slant that it couldn't detect, or was it unable to keep its vertical orientation as it was coming down? Or, I mean, these are by theory hypotheses, but I'm kind of curious what would have gone wrong.
Yeah, so some of it, you know, becomes speculation because of the sparse telemetry that we have from landing. But we can say in general is any system where you track features in order to navigate, it's going to see a lot of different features, and some of them are going to be good features, some of them are going to be bad features. And the way a system like this works is by looking at the consensus of what it sees and then throwing out the things that don't really agree with the consensus. And the danger is when you run out of features, you don't have very many to navigate on, is that you're not really able to establish what that consensus is, and you end up tracking the wrong kinds of features. And that's when things can get off track. And so what we see in the telemetry is that coming down towards the last part of the flight on descent, when you're closing in on the ground, that the helicopter relatively quickly starts to think that it's horizontally moving away from it, the target that it's landing at. And so it's likely that it made an aggressive maneuver to try to correct that right upon landing. And that would have accounted for sideways motion and tilt of the helicopter that could have led to either striking the blade to the ground and then losing power, or making a maneuver that was aggressive enough to lose power before touching on the ground and then striking the blade. We don't know those details yet. We may never know, but we're trying as hard as we can with the data that we have to figure out those details.
And there we have it, the details on what happened to the Ingenuity helicopter in Jezero Crater. Now, sometimes Adrian Brown, who is the deputy program scientist at NASA's Washington headquarters, wondered what the Perseverance rover does or thinks in the middle of the Martian night. He wrote this imagined letter Perseverance might have written to the helicopter Ingenuity had they been more human than we know.
A Letter to My Flying Friend by Adrian Brown. I have missed you, little one. We once were the best of friends. Better partners than Batman and Robin. Two metallic creatures of Earth, sent to this red wasteland by those tool-bearing monkeys. I protected you in my mechanical belly for more than 7 months. I worry that I've seen the last of you. And then who will I share selfies with? Since we were built back in California, and our fateful mission commenced, we knew we would have to part ways. But I was hoping for more fanfare. At least a parting handshake. I well remember that fateful day, when you missed the comms check. With the lowering of the sun, your battery couldn't see you through the Martian day safely, so we had to park you in a sun-drenched spot and hope you come back to me as winter comes to an end. As the solo monotony of my winter journey grinds on like my titanium aluminum wheels over the coarse olivine regolith, over dusty rocks of Hogwallow. These monkey geologists are so excited to pack my belly with samples in the place where you lay. But rocks won't substitute for you. Will you come back again? As the sun warms our playground, long enough for you to charge your lithium-ion six-pack? Will you fly over my mast, once more? As we sail together into and over the delta of our robotic dreams?
And Mark Tony has written this about the Ingenuity helicopter.
Perseverance by Mark Tony, 2021 April. Sky is the limit, first historic flight on Mars. Ingenuity.
On the Space Show, we are looking at the demise of the Mars helicopter Ingenuity. Now, NASA says that the song we're going to play was inspired by the Mars Perseverance mission. It was released in 2021 ahead of the Ingenuity test flight on 2021 April 11th, but after the Perseverance landing. This is Sia and David Guetta, who come from Australia, with Floating Through Space.
Thank you.
From Australia, Sia and David Guetta, Floating Through Space, and that was released in 2021. Also in 2021, A Harmony Moment released a song of the Mars helicopter.
Hi, I'm Ingenuity, the Mars helicopter. I hang out with my buddy Perseverance, the rover.
I was born in my NASA friends' hearts and minds, and now I'm on Mars for humankind. I want to look all around Mars and pause to glance at the stars and fly. I love from the Wright brothers, 1903 flyer. Thinking about that makes me soar even high. I have 4 foot long blades that spin really fast as I tilt, turn, and swirl like a robot gymnast. You are a part of me as I fly. Come with me and fly.
88.3 Southern FM.